So how's everyone doing this morning? Is everybody doing good? Okay. So what we're going to do today is we're going to conclude our current series that we're calling Habits. So just want to let you know if you have been here the last 2 weeks. Just show me, have you been here 1, 2 weeks in the last couple weeks? Just raise your hand. Habits, what a great series we've been in. And actually the last couple weeks we've had Pastor Craig Crochelle with us. Not in the flesh, but obviously through a video venue. Got a lot of different feedbacks, by the way, about what people think of video venues. People are pro, people are negative, whatever. So just we had him with us. So I hope you, either way, that you enjoyed the context of the message. The context of the message was very, very powerful as he talked about these habits. So let's just do this. Let's just do a quick review to bring everybody up to speed. Week one, the title of Craig's message was this thought, who before do, who before do. And he says, here's the deal. Before you talk about adding new habits to your life, or before you talk about deleting bad habits for your life, here's really the question that you need to ask is this. And I thought this was so beautiful. I wish I would have heard this message. I wish Mike Bechtold at 20 years old would have heard the message of Craig 2 weeks ago, because I think this is so powerful in helping us with our habits. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, who do I want to be? Who do I want to be? I think that's a great question. And my whole thought this week, as I've been just going through this message in my heart, my whole thought this week is, who do I want to be in 5 years? Who do I want to be? I mean, I can't believe it. I'm almost scared to just putting it out there. I'm 55 years old. I know I don't look like it, right? You're like, yeah, you look 60, but I feel like I'm about 40, whatever that feels like. But all week I was thinking, okay, Lord, who do I want to be when I'm 60? Who do I want to be 5 years from now? Who do I want to be when I'm 60 years old? So that question all week has been going through my mind. What do I want my life to look like when I'm 5 years? Who do I want to be? But I think there's even a bigger question, and I think Craig touched on this briefly, but I think there's even a bigger question, and the bigger question is this question, who does God want me to be? Who does God want me to be? Because if you think about it, it's really not our life, it's his life, amen? And there's a powerful verse in Colossians 1:16 that just kind of lays this out for us so beautifully. Paul writes, he says, for through him, and he's referring to Jesus, it says, through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made the things that we can see, and he made the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Now what I want us to do is I want us to read this bold print together, everybody, 1, 2, 3. Everything was created through him and for him. Can we read that again now with some conviction, with some life, with some passion? Everybody together. Everything was created through him and for him. So here's the deal. My life is not about me. I gave my life to Christ. And merely my life is all about, what do you want, God? What do you want out of my life? It's not short and small about what do I want. It's much bigger than that. And the bigger question is, God, what do you want for my life? What do you want me to look like 5 years from now? And actually, if you're curious of what God may want for your life, Paul answers that question beautifully in Romans 8:29 when he's writing to the church in Rome. It says, for God knew his people in advance, and let's read the bold part together, and he chose them to become like his son. So you say, God, who do you want me to be? I'll tell you who God wants you to be. There's no mystery. There's nothing you have to try to figure out. It's been laid out for us in Scripture. And the answer is God wants each and every person to become more and more like Jesus. So let me ask you this question. Have you ever stopped to consider what Jesus looks like? Because really, he's the perfect model of what life should look like, life in the fullness. He's the epitome of love. He's the epitome of forgiveness. He was one who lived in joy, power. He was a servant. He was a person of great character. And I'll tell you what God wants for you. He wants you to be more like his son, Jesus. I want you to consider that. So talk about a life worth living. So here's the question, because, and I hope you did your, I hope you did your work, your homework. I hope you're not just coming to church to hear sermons and see how good they were or how bad they were. But I hope you want to be a doer of the word. And the question I want to pose to you, and I want to challenge you, I want to get in your face and challenge you with is, who do you want to be? Have you taken the time to really live intentionally and ask yourself the question, hey, God, who is it that you would want me to be? Who do you want me to be? Then week two, which was last week, the whole question that Craig posed to us is, what one habit do you need to start? And I love that he's not talking about trying to form 15 new habits, 18 new habits that will get you to where you want to be. No, he's saying, why don't you start with baby steps? And what is one habit that you can form? What is one habit that can get you to where you want to be in 5 years? What's one thing you can start with this week to begin that journey of beginning to go on that journey of where God wants you to be? For example, one of the things I want to be in 5 years, I want to be a better husband. 5 years, I'm going to be a better husband. Heather and I started a very unique journey this week. We left our son in Miami, Florida. Yay. We left our son. Heather's not saying yay. I'm saying yay, okay? And, you know, I thought about that this week. Now we're what we call empty nesters. Let's hear it for all the empty. If you're an empty nester, raise your hand with some excitement in the air. Yay. Woo, yes. The shoes are not all in front of the door anymore. You know what I mean? The countertops are clear. The food is staying in the refrigerator. It is awesome. Heather's like, no, I want all that stuff back, okay? But anyway, here's the deal. So I'm thinking 5 years from now, one of the things I thought of this week, I want to be a better husband. So what is one habit that I can form to be a better husband? The thought that came to my mind, get this, guys. One of the things I can do better to be a better husband is be a better listener. And all the ladies said, amen. Amen. So what does that look like in my life? That looks like Heather and I are walkers. So we walk 6 days a week, okay? We walk about 4 miles 6 days a week. And on those walks, it's just Heather and I, no interruptions. You know what I mean? So that means that when Heather's talking, I'm listening. You know what I'm talking about? So when we're walking, I'm not thinking about, I wonder what kind of season the Steelers are going to have this year. I'm not wondering, how's Big Ben going to do this year? How's his health? I'm not walking and thinking, well, about work, because I'm consumed with work. And on those walks, Heather can say, can you tell me, she'll ask once in a while, can you tell me what I just said? Have you ever been trapped with that question before? And you're like, oh, Lord, please, Jesus, help me one more. What did she say? Some of you are looking like you're an awful husband. Well, that's the point. I need God's grace. Amen? But that's one of the things I thought of this week. Who do I want to be in 5 years? Who would God want me to be? He wants me to be a better husband. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church, and he gave his life for the church. That's what he wants for me, for Heather. We better have better... I believe the best is yet ahead. Do you believe that, Heather? Woo, let's go, okay? It's going to be awesome. So, or say this, say your goal is you say, yeah, I want to be more like Jesus. What is one habit? What is one thing you can do this week? I mean, you don't have to wait. What is one thing you can do this week to be more like Jesus? May I suggest you start spending time with Jesus. Start spending time with Jesus. And I'm not talking you got to sit down and read your Bible 30 minutes every day and pray for 2 hours every day. Some of you, the start may be, God, I'm going to look at 5 verses this morning. I'm going to look at 5 verses, and I'm not going to speed read. I'm going to ask, God, how can I apply that to my life? Maybe just spending time with Jesus is I'm going to pray first. It's going to be my first response, not my last resort. What can I do? What is one thing you can do? So that was last week. What's one habit you can add to your life with the goal in mind? Don't forget there's a goal. There's a why. The why is because that's who I want to be. And that habit's going to help me get to where I want to be. What is one thing I can do? Now let's look at today. Today's question is simply this. Everybody, you can write this down if you're taking notes. And if you're not taking notes, still write it down, okay? What's one habit? What one habit do you need to stop? What one habit do you need to stop? So think about it. Based upon who you want to be, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, based upon who God wants you to be, what's one habit that you need to break? What is one habit that may be preventing you from getting where you want to go, because a bad habit can really mess up your life. A bad habit can really prevent you from being who you want to be, who God wants us to be. So you need to be, this is serious business, folks. This isn't just routine church. This is life change. We're talking life change this morning. And the life change is, what is the one bad habit that's holding me back? So this may actually be the first step to, actually, this is the first step to breaking a bad habit, is this. The first step to breaking any bad habit, if you're taking notes, the first step is you got to be able to identify the bad habit. You need to identify the bad habit. See, and by the way, I want to say this. If you need help, you may need to ask somebody close to you. You may need to ask the Holy Spirit directly, what is the one habit you think that's somebody that loves you, that cares enough about you? You can go to them and say, hey, what do you think the one bad habit is? Because when people that love you share these things with you, they mean it for your own good. So you got to be able to define what it is. I love what Craig says here. He says this, you cannot defeat what you cannot define. You cannot defeat what you can't define. You better get clarity. Everybody say that together, clarity. There needs to be extreme clarity of what's this one bad habit. We could even say, what's this one sin? Yes, we say sin in church. We need to. What is that one thing that's going to keep me from going forward? Forward to what I want to be, what God wants me to be. So that's the first one, identify. Now let's look at the second one. And this one's going to, we're going to camp out here just for a few minutes. You know what it is. I want to let you know, I know what mine is. Do you know what yours is? Don't raise your hand, but do you know what it is? The second thing you need to do is this. And this works. It is so interesting to me that before I listened to Craig's message in preparation for today, before I read several different articles in preparation for today, I found out in my own, God showed me maybe just this, that this works, and this is what works. You need to make it difficult to do. Everybody, let's write that down. Make it difficult to do. Because as Craig said, and many articles talk about, he said there's something called the habit loop. Has anybody ever heard of that before, the habit loop? Okay, let's take a look at the habit loop. That every habit, good or bad, consists of this three parts. First part of the habit is your trigger. We'll talk about that in a second. Then there's the action or the response. I've seen different people, how they identified that. Trigger, action, and then the reward, okay? So let's talk about each one of those quickly. The trigger is the stimulus. It's that desire that kind of leads you to the action. It's that thing that just, it's just the stimulus, the desire. The trigger tells your brain, and your brain goes into this automatic mode that leads you to the action. It's almost dangerous because after a while it becomes like you're on autopilot if you're not careful. It triggers you. It's the stimulus, okay? And then there's the action where you actually carry out the bad habit, the bad behavior. More importantly, the thing that's keeping you from growing in God, growing in grace, growing with Jesus, being who you want to be. Then there's the third part that's called the reward. And when we're talking about habits or bad habits, the reward is basically the temporary stress relief that makes you feel better. So I'm going to be very transparent with you today and tell you that bad habits are often difficult, if not always difficult to break, because when you do the bad habit, the reward is you feel good. If it didn't feel good, you wouldn't do it. Okay, does that make sense? So the reason why we have a hard time breaking bad habits is because of the reward. I mean, that's why sometimes for me, I just binge eat. It's comfort food, okay? You know what I'm saying? So whatever your bad habit is, you're going to see this. There's a reward attached to it, okay? So we need to get that right. So when it comes to our bad habits, what we're going to do is what we want to do is we want to remove the trigger. That's what we're going to do is we're going to remove the trigger. So ultimately what we're doing is we're interrupting the action. You're going to remove the trigger to interrupt the action. So you got to be intentional. You got to know what the trigger is, okay? And that's going to help you to get rid of the action. And by the way, there's five common triggers that often lead to bad habits write this down. This is so big. By the way, you're getting all this classroom material today free of charge. Number one, there's five common triggers that often lead to bad habits. Usually it's connected to a place. There's a place where that trigger takes place. There's a place in your life, okay? So you need to ask yourself this question when it comes to your bad habit. Where are you when the craving shows up? It might be a bar. For some people, it might be a shopping mall. Other people, it might be a restaurant. So what is the trigger? What's the place where you're usually at where you're like, oh, that's when it happens? Number two is, I believe it's a time. So the question is this, with your temptation, with your sin, with your bad habit, at what point during the day does this usually happen? When do I usually get this trigger coming off in my life? When do I usually get tempted? When do I usually deal with this? What time of day is it? I don't know about you, but for me, a lot of times things happen, you know, when maybe after dark. Maybe when after dark, and remember your parents would say to you growing up, at least my parents did, nothing good happens after dark. And I have found that to be true in my life, that nothing good happens after dark. Get inside, go to bed, live safely. You know what I mean? So usually, Bill, one of the triggers is there's a time. So think of your bad habit, the thing that I hoped you already identified. When is the time when you deal with that? There's just this strong temptation to give into the bad habit. When's that time you need to identify that trigger? Here's another one I think is huge, and these are all good. There's a certain mood. There's a certain mood, and the question there is, are you hungry? Are you angry? You could put those together and say, hangry, okay? What's the mood? Are you lonely? Are you bored? Remember your parents used to say, idle hands or what? The devil's workshop, the tools of the devil. So that's usually people get bored. That's when there's a trigger, when you get bored. And here's a big one for me. I have identified this in my life. When I get tired, that's not a good time in my life, when I get tired. So there's times where I have a difficult time sleeping. A couple days, even this week, up at 1:30, up at 3:30. And what happens? You get sleep deprived. And what happens? You begin to take that out on people. Am I the only person that ever does that? And I get kind of ugly and I say some things that I wouldn't have said if I got a good night's sleep. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? So that triggers, and it's then that I got to make a choice that even though I didn't sleep good last night, I'm still going to be nice to Heather. Does that make sense to you? It's really that simple. Regardless of how I feel, I'm not going to make that difficulty carry and be other people's problems. But you got to identify the trigger. It's usually connected to a mood. Or number four, it is connected to a moment. This is a good question. What happened before you felt this way? What led up to this? What led up to this? I can't tell you how many times I've done bad habits after the Steelers lost a game. Oh, and my boys, they mock. It's funny, a lot of our stories about, Dad, you remember what you did, and it was a result of the Steeler. Isn't that ridiculous? Aren't I ridiculous? I'm the only ridiculous person here, right? But sometimes what happened? Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you flunked a test. Maybe you got laid off a job. What is it that put you in that moment that triggered that bad habit? I lost a job, so I'm going to go out and drink tonight. I'm going to get drunk because that's not how we want to handle that situation. That's not glorifying to God, okay? And here's the biggie, and this is where we're going to spend just a few extra minutes today. A common trigger is a person, people. Here's the question for your trigger. When you're tempted with that bad habit, that sin, what's the common denominator? Who are the people you're with? Who are the people that you're with? I was listening to Craig, and he says this, that studies are conclusive that the closer you are to somebody, the more likely you will have the same traits as that person. So the closer you are to that person, the more likely you'll have the same habits and the same traits as that person. And here's what I want to say. That goes both ways. That goes both ways. It could be a positive. It can be a negative. It could be good. It could be bad. The whole deal is, who are you spending time with? I love what the writer of Proverbs said. Can we read this together? Because this is gold. Everybody together. Walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. So who's the person that's connected? Who's that trigger? Is it a group of people? You walk with the wise, you become wise. If you associate with fools, you're going to get in trouble. I mean, how many times have you heard me in this church say this phrase, Joanne, show me your friends, and what? And I'll show you your future. It's really that simple. Show me your friends. Grant, show me your friends. Nolan, show me your friends. Mike, show me your friends. And I used to think that this was only a teenage issue, that this was only teenagers that got influenced by other people. I've grown wiser. Don't I look wiser? Less hair, glasses. But anyway, I've grown wiser, and I realize this is also for adults. There's people in their 50s, 60s, 70s that you can still learn a lot from this verse. It's so important. It's so important. Are the people that you're hanging out with, are they going to help you to become who you want to be? Are the people you're hanging out with, are they going to help you to become, most importantly, who God wants you to be? And some of us think we're beyond that, but we're not. That influence gets all over you. Spirit reproduces spirit. Their spirit gets on your spirit. It's not good. So I just want to ask you, so here's the question. And please, let's do business here this morning. Let's not play church. Let's live for life change that glorifies God. Here's the question, and there is a question. Who is it that you're allowing to influence you? Who is it that you're allowing to influence you? And let's add one other question to that I didn't have on the PowerPoint slide, and that is there influence, is that influence positive or is that influence negative? Who is it that you're allowing to influence you? It could be a friend. It could be somebody you work with. I'll just be real honest. It could be somebody in your own house. Yeah, it could be family. And we got to be very careful. Who are you allowing to influence you? If you're hanging out with negative people, you're going to become negative. If you're hanging out with people who just, life stinks, life is going to stink. If you're hanging out with people who always feel like they're the victim, you're going to feel that way. If you're hanging out with people who are positive, life-giving, spirit-filled, going after God, disciples of Jesus Christ, that stuff, it gets on you. It gets on you. I know we lost Nolan this week, but I tell you what, I can't think of a place in this entire world where I want Nolan right now. I can't think of any place in this whole world where I want Nolan right now than in the environment, that in the culture. We went down there. The culture is on fire for Jesus. And I'm like, see you, Nolan, I'll miss you, but you're going to be better because you went here. See, Nolan couldn't have become who God wanted him to be living with Mike and Heather. Not that we're bad people. But he's got to get around, man, you got to get in that place where there's this life, and I think there's life in our home, but let's not go too, there's life in our, we're loving Jesus, we're not fighting at home, okay? What you see here is what you're getting at our house, okay? But I'm saying he's getting around people his same age, big groups, like-minded, and I tell you what, it's going to get all over him. And I think when we see him in December, we're not going to see the Nolan of late August. We're going to see the Nolan of December to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. And that's where we want to be. We want to be in those places. So think of your life. Who are you hanging out with? You soar with the eagle, you'll become the eagles. If you hang out with turkeys, you're going to become a turkey, okay? Let's just call it the way it is. So be intentional. Be intentional about who you're hanging out with. Craig says this. I thought this was a great quote from Craig. He says, it's almost impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. It's almost impossible to live the right life when you have the wrong friends. So what are we going to do? What we're trying to do is we're trying to remove the triggers. Remove the triggers. So ultimately what we're going to do is we're going to interrupt the actions. So I tell you what, there might be times you have to remove the trigger of negative influence. Remove the places where these bad habits, the time, the mood, you're going to have to do your best to remove it. Do your homework. Say, God, this is what it looks like for me, okay? So what's the third step of breaking a bad habit? Here, we're going to conclude here. The first step, you identify the target or the habit. You make it difficult, remove the trigger, which leads to number three, and that is this: replace the bad habit with a good habit. Replace the bad habit with a good habit. You're going to have to find something else to do. You're going to have to come up. You're going to have to be intentional. You're going to have to be prayerful. You're going to have to seek the face of God. Say, God, what one thing can I do? So when I'm in temptation in this area, a time, a place, a mood, God, there's got to be something new. There's going to be some new habit I developed, okay? So what I want to do is I want to illustrate this, okay? And I'm going to illustrate with something so simple, but you can apply it to whatever it is in your life. So is everybody ready for a visual illustration? Say, yay. Well, about half of you. The rest want to go home? Okay, stick with me. Well, here we're going to go. This is what you're going to do. Let me just give an illustration. So say my goal is that I want to be in better physical condition when I'm 60, because I want to go, and I told the Lord this week, I want the second half of life to be better than the first half. Amen? How many people are in that group? You want the second half of life to even be, man, if the best is behind us, that stinks. But how many people believe the best is ahead? Amen. So if I want to be in better physical condition when I'm 60, I'm going to have to remove some habits. So I went into my kitchen this week, and let me put this table out here, and I'm going to show you what was in my kitchen on the counter. Hostess donuts. Aren't those awesome? By the way, we bought these for the road trip on the way home from Florida. We drove 29 straight hours, so you needed some sugar, you know what I mean? By the way, I recommend you don't ever do that. That's unsafe. It's stupid, but we were stupid. We wanted to get home. Okay, here, this was also on my counter. I'm serious. These were all on the counter. Heather wasn't eating any of it. It was just me. There were Pop-Tarts. We bought those Pop-Tarts in Florida thinking we were going to leave them with Nolan. That transition never happened, so they were on my counter. My neighbor walks over this week. My lady across the street walks over, and she said, I was thinking about you. And she, man, she dropped off some brownies. By the way, there's two left. If you want one after the service, these things are awesome. But you're going to need a glass of milk just to get this thing down, okay? So this is my counter, man. My goal is at 60, I want to be in better physical condition, and here's this stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's one more. Heather and I went to Walmart. And don't take me to Walmart. How many people like all these chocolate donuts? Oh, I love these things. By the way, it was funny. My boys always said, Dad, that tastes like chocolate plastic. And I'm like, dudes, I love chocolate plastic. I love chocolate. So here's what I did. Instead of, because I want to be in better shape, instead of getting the big ones, I got the minis. Now you eat two minis, you know? So it doesn't work. So here's the deal. How many people know if I'm serious about where I want to be? If you're serious where you want to be in 5 years, where God wants you to be in 5 years, how many people know this probably isn't going to get me where I want to be? Does that make sense? Say yay or nay. Yay. So what should be on my counter? Anybody want to help me? What should be on the counter? Bananas. And I bought these because I'm going to eat these later, by the way. You can have the rest, but not these. Raspberries. Brooke, is this okay to eat this kind of stuff? Okay. Brooke's our health consultant. I feel guilty for even bringing out the junk filled in front of her. She's like, are you judging me? Okay. Apples. Oh, peach. Peach nectarine, I don't know the difference. But here's the deal. What I got to do is I got to remove the bad habit. I got to remove this trigger how many people are snackers? You've worked a hard day. You deserve this. And what I got to do is, and by the way, it's because of other people that I have this stuff. It's been on the counter for over a week, Brooke, okay? So it's not like we're binge eating. And Heather doesn't touch any. She's like, it's all, by the way, that's another great thing of empty nesters. Only you get to eat this stuff. If Nolan was around, this would have been gone. But what do you do? You replace the bad with the good. And so we can joke about it could be food, but what is it in your life that's a negative? Maybe for you, this isn't junk food, it's alcohol. Maybe for you, this is lottery tickets. And there's a 1,300 different things this could be. Maybe this, you, it's your laptop. Maybe you, it's binging on your telephone. You can't get off the telephone, you're addicted. So what you need to do is you got to remove the trigger. You got to remove. There's some things you got to remove, and then you got to replace it with something good. So you got to do your homework this week. Step one, you got to figure out who you want to be. I suggest 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. Better yet, and I keep forgetting, the best thing is, who does God want me to be? Identify the thing that's going to hold you back. Remove the trigger. Remove the thing that you know. I know I had bad, sinful habits in my life, and the Holy Spirit just showed me, this is what you got to do. Then you got to put other good things in place. So why is this so important that we get rid of these bad habits? Here's why it's important: because they have the potential to keep us from being what God wants us to be. Isn't that enough? These things have the potential for us being what God wants us to be. And I want you to hear this consequence. The consequence is this: they're not only going to impact you. See, a lot of these things don't only impact you. They impact a spouse. They impact a child. So if I have these bad habits, it's just not isolated. I'm not isolated that this is just going to ruin me. It could ruin Heather and I. It could ruin my family. It could ruin this church. And that's motive to say, God, that's not who I want to be. God, that's not who you want me to be. So God, I need to get these things out of my life. Because Craig says this, this is one of his last quotes. He says this, and we did the review. You can write these down. I forgot to do this here. Let's go with this, the last quote. Everybody together. The habits you have today will shape who you become tomorrow. Hands down, like it or not, believe it or not, this is it. The habits you have today, they're going to shape who you are tomorrow. The way I'm living today is going to impact who I am at 60. And I tell you what, I want the second part of my life to be the best, most fruitful, Christ-glorifying years of my life. And this is serious. We're not playing kids' games. We're playing for keeps. We're playing because we want to impact people. God wants to use us. And so here's my closing thought this morning. And my closing thought for this whole series is this. We asked you to start one good habit. Craig did last week. I'm asking you to stop one bad habit. We're only asking you to start with one. And then you progress and go further. Because there's a beautiful verse in Zechariah 4:10. It says, don't despise the small beginnings. You're like, oh, not eating a donut and eating an apple instead, is that really going to make a difference? Well, probably not once, but over six months, there's going to be some impact. Or it could be anything, addiction to your cell phone. It could be 3,000 different things. Don't despise the days of small beginnings, starting with one. Everybody say one. One. Because I love what it says here, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. I think the Lord rejoices when he says, oh, Mike, you're serious enough to become like Jesus, and you're serious enough to start with one thing. And I believe God's in heaven saying, that's my boy. That's my boy. It's not going to change overnight, but that's my boy. You're serious enough to start with the small things. So let me ask you, bow your head this morning, what's the one small thing that you may need to start? And what's one small thing you may need to stop that may prevent you from being the person that God wants you to be in 5 years? And I wish you could see the person that God wants you to be. I wish you could see the snapshot, the fruitfulness, the life change that God wants for you. But you know what? It doesn't happen overnight. There's going to be small steps, one victory, three victories, five victories. So let me ask you the closing question. Is the thing you're doing right now going to get you to where you want to go? Is the thing that you're doing right now going to get you to be more like Jesus? I'm done with being negative. I'm going to be positive. I'm done with cutting people down. I'm going to lift them up. That could be your one thing. I'm done murmuring and complaining. I'm going to choose to speak life words. Come on. What's the one thing? So, Lord, we just thank you for meaningful time in your presence today, in your house today. Now, Lord, I just pray that we would not be forgetful hearers, but we would be doers. And I pray right now, Lord, that people would begin to ask the question, who does God want me to be? What do I need to start to get there? What do I need to stop to get there? And God, I just pray through it all that you would help us as we sang today, that you would come to our rescue when we simply call upon you, that we would call upon you and you'd come and you would help us. Lord, that we'd stand on the promises of Philippians 4:13, that I can do all things through Christ, not exempt from Christ, but through Christ who gives me strength. I can get the victories. I have the power of the Holy Spirit living in me. I don't have to do it alone. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time. And it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning.